That's a good one.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
Heaven praise, heaven praise. It's to our heaven want to worship.
Put your hands together. Come on, put your hands together. It says every praise. Come on, every praise to our God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. God, we thank you again tonight. As Lord, now we turn our attention to you. We've gathered in this sacred place, and Lord, our purpose for gathering is that we would hear from you. Lord, speak to us even right now. Hallelujah. Through it all, Lord, we've learned how to lean and trust you. And so, God, tonight, as we celebrate the transition from one to another, we've come to learn, and we do know now, Lord, that every praise is to our God. Yes, Lord, every praise. We thank you, Lord, for Mama and Daddy, and we thank you for the children, we thank you for all of it, but every praise belongs to you. And God, because you will never deny us, you certainly will not deny that which is due unto you. The writer declared, I will bless the Lord at all times, and that his praise will continually be in my mouth. And God, because he realized that you hadn't only been good to him, he turned around and said, oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together. Thank you, God, tonight as we lift up our praise. Our eyes are on you. Our faith is in you. Father, when we were yet children, they taught us a simple little song that said, you've got the whole world in your hand. So we feel good about it tonight. We feel safe. We feel all right now. There's peace in your presence. Thank you for hiding us when we needed to be here. Thank you for covering us when we were naked in the world. Thank you for shelter when those storms kept on raging. Thank you for water when we were thirsty. Thank you for food when we were hungry. We just want to say thank you. Hallelujah. God be the glory. book of Ecclesiastes in the 7th chapter, found just what I was looking for. I want to lift up just that one verse, and I'm going to move on quickly. Just keep our eyes and ears open as we are moving about. Thank you, Brother Thomas. Thank you, Brother McKenzie. Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 10. I have a New Living Translation Bible. Again, I'm glad to see all of you. Thank you for coming. See some people I've not seen, and I pray, God, you'll come and stay with us a while. Chapter 7 and verse 10, and it simply says from the New Living Translation, "Don't long for the good old days, for you don't know whether they were any better than today." And then I have another version that reminds us and simply says, "Don't long for the good old days, for this is not wise." Amen. Look at your neighbor and say, "Neighbor, pastor's going to preach tonight. Let's give them something to talk about." Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Solomon writes to us, and I would tonight that you understand that this is a personal letter addressed to you. And the historical postman of all of life has ensured that these letters are delivered in a timely manner. And so what he says to us tonight is, in the language of our young people, don't get it twisted. Don't keep talking about what used to be and forget how good you got it right now. What he's really saying to us is that it is a sin and a slap in the face of God for you to talk about in good stead only what used to be and not realize that as you live and breathe, you got so much to be thankful for. Solomon says, "I'm wise, I'm smart, I know what I'm talking about. I'm the son of a king. I have been trusted by God to do great and marvelous things. I have been around people all of my life. I watched my daddy in the kingdom, and I saw how God dealt with him, and I saw how my daddy dealt with people. I saw the ebbs and the flows of what kingdom life was like. I saw my daddy struggle. I saw my daddy being successful in God. I watched him live and I watched him die. I know what it's like to be around wealth and opulence, but I'm telling you now that you should never long for yesterday and miss praising God for right now." Solomon says, you remember, he's the one that said, "Listen, I was young, but now I'm old." He copied that from his dad to remind us that no matter what happens in your life, you will never be forsaken. Y'all ain't seeing me. I'm telling you tonight that your testimony is not about what used to be, but it is about what is right now. You ought to give them something to talk about. You ought to remember that every day with Jesus get sweeter than the day before. In fact, he reminds us that it's sweeter than the honeycomb. You've got a good life, honey, homeboy. You got something to talk about. In fact, you can be found guilty of bragging if you ain't careful. Because when you talk about God, you're talking big. And so he reminds us tonight at the close of the calendar that yesterday is not our biggest testimony. It's not where our biggest praise lies. And because oftentimes we look back and we find fondness in those things that have already been accomplished for the sake of not being challenged to accomplish new things. We sing songs that said it was good enough for my mama and it was good enough. But the reality is that song can be remixed every day. Because what you're doing now is establishing the living legacy for your children and your grandchildren. But Solomon helps us tonight as we get to the close of the matter, because if you back up just a little bit, which I thought it interesting, from the same voice that we hear now in verse 10, what he says in verse 8 is a kicker, because he says, finishing a thing is better than the beginning. I thought to myself that, Solomon, you are an interesting fellow, because you got us twisted up pretty good here. Because really what we do a lot of times is we celebrate the end of a thing and somewhat drag our feet about the beginning of a thing. But you have to understand tonight that you can't finish until you start. And until you start, you can't finish. It is a twist that I think the heavens do to us to keep us trusting God. I would tell you tonight, beloved of God, as you celebrate the close of the matter, you didn't do any of it by yourself. Come on, we just got through telling you that every praise is to our God. I would tonight to help you understand that you have so much to, in the now sense of things, be thankful for. I heard somebody tonight, I don't know I think it sounded like Brother Tyler talking about the former days, and I thought to myself, yeah, that's just where we are. Because a lot of times we look at our lives in the former sense, and especially for those of us who are good old Christians, we often talk about our used-to-be's and as if we were ashamed of them, but we were quite proud back in the day when we could do what we did like we did what we did that nobody else could do. And God knows we've got more hidden stuff than we got revealed stuff, but isn't God faithful? And so God tonight, he reminds us that's really how it is. So. It is with that tonight that I would suggest to you that in the days that are to come, in the day that is now, you ought to give folks something to talk about. The Bible says that, and they overcame by the words of their testimony. And I would suggest to you tonight that we need to work on how we testify on behalf of God. You do know that testimonies are not about you. They are really about God. Y'all didn't say amen like I thought you would. The testimonies are about how God delivered us. Folks say things about God that they can't say about nobody else. But tonight, you can look at your neighbor and tell them, you all right, but you ain't God. Amen. I know you loaned me some money. I know you gave me a ride. I know you've been looking out for me. But there's some bigger eyes than yours watching out for me. I appreciate you. I truly do. But I want you to know tonight that my God is awesome. And so when he tells us tonight, it's just at the midnight hour. God bless you. It is important to understand tonight that there are a couple of particulars that you need to realize tonight. So what I want to say to you tonight is you do understand that you may never get all of it done. And that's how life is. So don't beat yourself up too long about what you didn't finish. Don't argue with yourself too long about the seeming impossible things. You tried your best and you know you did. That's fine. But the fact of the matter is that the promises and potentials of yesterday haunt most of us, even at our best. Most of us tonight, if we were to line up down the center aisle, We could start talking about what we wanted to do and never got to do and where we wanted to be, and we would probably end up crying and using up all of the tissue in the church, and nothing would really change. All of us have been subject to failure. No, I need to say that again. All of us have been subject to failure. And again, that's why I want to tell you tonight that some of you need to realize how good you really got it. Even for as much as you have not done, what you have done is praiseworthy. Some of us sit around and get haunted by yesterdays and haunted by failures, and we close our curtains tighter and we bring our circle in even closer, and we dare to try again because we've been hurt and disappointed. But can I tell you tonight that all of us have been hurt and disappointed? Look at your neighbor and tell them, don't get me started. Yeah, the reality and reason of yesterdays are just what they are. But you do know that it was a yesterday that got you started on today. Yeah. It was the fact that you fell down that made you get up. Come on, y'all ain't talking to me. You cannot always be on top. And so he reminds us that we're forced by life into confrontation with failure. And I will tell you tonight that, as again, some of y'all are just too lazy, too lifeless, and you've lost your vigor because you won't try again. But you need to wake up. If you don't wake up, I'm going to slap you, because you're going to be forced into the confrontation of failure. Listen, every possible success is walking right next to failure. Y'all ain't hearing me. Even when God has given you the blueprints, the devil got a copy too. Bible said that his mission in life is to kill and destroy, to make us stumble. He's a dirty player. And some of us have been victimized by him. Some of us have been constantly bombarded by him, and we feel like it ain't fair. But let me tell you something. It ain't fair for none of us. How many ever heard somebody say, if I had my way? You had your way. Who would suffer because you have your way? I mean, come on, think about it, beloved of God. If in fact the one constant in our lives is the fact that we've got to do something in order to get something, failure is a part of that. And so he reminds us tonight that a lot of what we have dealt with has not gone unnoticed by God. And I would say to you tonight, as we consider the summary of and now the salutation of tomorrow's, that most of our dreams do not die because of outside influence. Most of our dreams die because of malnutrition. You won't feed your own dreams. Y'all ain't talking to me now. Too many of us sit around and wait for somebody else to do something that we ought to be really trusting God and doing for ourselves. How many times have you heard folks say, they won't let me in, and they wouldn't give me, and they didn't help me? Listen, you got to learn how to stop depending on the wrong people. First of all, I notice, I'm down to three of y'all now. That's all right. We'll get you back here in a minute. But the fact of the matter is, you've got to learn to put all of your trust in God. And if, in fact, you have not heard from God, stay by the phone, baby, until he calls. Because a lot of what we do is because we desire to do it for ourselves. And anything that starts out selfish will rarely lead to sacrifice unto God. Because the more you look at yourself, the more you lose sight of God. Y'all don't like me on a late night service. Please understand tonight that everything you do has consequences. You cannot give glory to God when you started out trying to be greedy for yourself. And so he would tonight. Please understand that you can't just keep longing for when you were a champion. You can't keep trying to remember what you did when you were 25. You ought to thank God that you're 50. You keep sitting around talking about what you wasted and what was taken from you. Listen, a whole lot of it you left unattended. Here we are now. God says to us tonight, I'll give you another chance. Some of us tonight, please understand, beloved of God, I'm just about there. Please understand, I don't care. You want to go out and have a party, go ahead. Some of us going to leave here as fast as we can to get there and catch up with the rest of them. We've been eating chicken wings and drinking apple martinis and all that kind of stuff. Go ahead, baby. Lord knows I wish I could go with you.
But I got a charge to keep. And folk tell on the preacher. But please understand tonight that the realities are right in front of you. If in fact you intend to do 2015 better than you did 2014, you're going to have to face that the realities are no different than they were 20 minutes ago. You have to at some point understand that one of the prolific words of the gospel is in the simple phrase, "I discovered." You really need to start being honest with yourself. You lie to the east and lie to the west and lie to the very one that you love the best. That's you. You got to stop being so foolish with your own faithfulness. I'm preaching along through here. Because, see, here it is tonight. Every one of you are only positioned tonight because of promise present from God. Not presence, promise present. Right now. All you have is right now. You ain't got nothing. You ain't got nothing outside that door. You didn't leave nothing in the parking lot. You didn't leave nothing in yesterday. All you got, pastor, preacher, deacon, elder, trustee, apostle, prelate, overseer, bishop, whatever you are, all are stuck with the same problem right now. And if you don't start doing something with your right now, all you're going to have is a bucket full of yesterdays. And that bucket ain't going to help you none. Because you can't reach back and get nothing. You can't get your old you can't get your old job. They fired you, remember? Don't nobody want you to come back. Go forward. Be well and prosper. The reality for us is tonight that God is. And see, I was going to get my shout started right there, Melvin. With just God is. I mean, come on, you got every opportunity to get you a Sharpie with permanent ink and start writing in your God is. God is. Whatever you want. You're on your time. You write down what you need him to be. Because he said, "I'll be what you need me to be." Ain't none of that stuff about no college and no right job, no right money, no right man, no right woman. You know, that stuff, no. All of that is fabricated foolishness because people always change. Everything don't stay the same. Gladys Knight said, "Between every line of pain and glory." That's what it is, saints. That's what it is, children of God. And here's what you need to understand tonight. It's for the just and the unjust. It's folk out there who ain't gonna never sit in God's church, never give him a tithe, never lift an offering, never sing a praise that's gonna outdo you. Asaph had a problem with it. He said, "I didn't like the prosperity of the wicked. I'm here to tell you tonight, I don't like it either. But I wish they'd join our church and put their money in. Maybe they'll be a little more cooperative." But here it is tonight. He says, "Well, I can't keep looking backwards and trying to go forward." That's a fool's theology. Church back in the day, Rem, we used to pack the church, and Rem, they used to come to revival, and Rem, they used to give. Well, so what? Us ain't doing nothing with that. We can't cash them old checks. They've been cashed already. I ain't going to the cemetery and getting nobody. Please understand tonight, you are promised with present. And so tonight, toward the summary of the argument, I want you to understand that you can do all things through Christ. Now, see, wait a minute. Y'all miss. That's the open door. I didn't call nobody's name. I'm telling you tonight, every one of you have the same opportunity to bust the move for God. Everyone, there's an entrepreneur, there's a philanthropist, there's a business owner, there's a new husband, a new wife. All of you, even if you're the old husband and the old wife, all of you have great opportunity with God in your promised presence. Whatever you left undone, forget about it. You got to learn how to press your way. Paul says tonight that I've got to learn how to press toward the mark. Take that for me, please. I'm busy. Of the high calling that is in Christ Jesus. Notice what he says. He says, first of all, it requires my full attention. I'm going home now. It requires, some of you have never really focused fully on God. I'll let that simmer because you don't like me now, because I'm telling the truth. Some of us ain't never focused fully. We know Matthew 6. We know what it says. It says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and all these things. That's where we lose God, right along through there. As soon as we get in, all these things will be added, we start thinking about what we want God to add. We forget about him. Listen, God is often moved from the throne to the distribution warehouse in one breath. We hear Paul saying, and my God shall supply all my need according, and there we lose him again because now it's about all my need. We forget that he's God. It's just all my need. God, here's the stuff I need. In fact, I've got some more stuff coming. And what happens is we stop focusing on our faith and we begin to falter because of foolishness. It is a crazy people. Do not trust God with their whole heart. I would suggest to you tonight that you not lose focus very quickly, but if you look around this room tonight, my argument would be, where else would I be? I mean, I can go anywhere I want to after church. You do know there is still a thing called after church. You can do anything. You can wash your car after church. You can go to the beach after church. You can go watch the Cowboys after church. If your team ain't playing no more, we will invite you for a temporary membership to our club at 12 and 4 after church. No cussing in church, please. You have an opportunity to do anything you want after praise and worship, after evening prayer. After Bible, God does not stop the world because the meeting is over. There is much to do. God doesn't have no problem with you, but you got to learn how to live after church. Not while church is going on. I am convinced of God that we should all be able to give the testimony. Where did you think you'd find me? At 11 o'clock on a Sunday? Where did you think you'd find me at 6 o'clock on a Thursday? Where did you expect to find me at 6 o'clock on a Wednesday? Where did you think I would be? But after church, I will testify very quickly. I'm almost finished. I know y'all got to go, but I will testify very quickly. I mean, there's a lot of stuff I've done after church. My mother's here, so I can't tell it, but there's a lot of stuff I'm done after. And I'm alive. I'm almost there. God has no problem with you living after church, after prayer, after praise, after worship. So he says it requires my full attention. Then he says, I must make proper application with my now moment. I'm pressing toward the mark of the high calling that is in Christ Jesus. That's what I'm supposed to be doing. If in fact you desire to live greater, in 2015, you got to learn how to make proper application of your promised present moment. This is what the Lord doth require, that a man be faithful. Isaiah stood before the people and told them, he said, listen, God is willing to do anything. He said, listen, you can come by without cost. You can eat anything. He said, that's just how God is. But you've got to make yourself a faithful promise in order that you can be blessed by a faithful promise.
See how smooth that was.
All of us tonight are no different than the other. We're living based on faithful promise. Thank you, Brother Thomas. I thought I'd get more than that. Maybe I should say it again. All of us tonight, everybody, not yet, son, wait till I get to the part I say. All of us tonight are living by the same faithful promise. God said. I left my note right here too, Melvin, because I figured if I didn't get it where God is, I'd get it where God said. And I'm trying to keep my feet on the floor right now. But God said. And it doesn't matter what the committee says. It doesn't matter what the government does. It doesn't matter what John Boehner votes for. It doesn't matter about Obamacare. God said. And I got so much I want to hear God say. I feel my James Cleveland coming. I don't feel no ways tired. Because as long as God is still saying, stuff is happening. Old folk will tell you there's a bright side somewhere. And don't you rest. Nothing named to, don't you get lazy along through here. Till you find it. You deserve a bright side. You deserve to hear what God is saying. You deserve your moment in the sun, but you got to keep pressing your way. That's why Jesus said, let the dead bury the dead. There's a whole lot of folk just priced that in 2015, we're going to have to look at them and simply say, see you, and I wouldn't want to be you. God is saying, why does the church not hear? God is saying, Paul says you have to make this application. Solomon said that there's no need in worrying about spilled milk. The Holy Spirit has come to develop and demonstrate to us that God will. I really had to be careful when I got to God will because I had some stuff I wanted to tell you that he's doing. But I'm trying to keep my feet on the floor. The Holy Spirit has come. GBC, we're not sitting around tarrying no more. Tarrying has become the excuse of a lethargic church. There is nothing we have to wait for that take that long. Y'all really mad at me now. He said, I've come to let you know you can be bigger, better, bolder. You can be blessed greater. Starship Enterprise left the port, wherever their port was. They told Captain Kirk and First Officer Nimoy, boldly go where no man has gone before. And church, that's really what I believe God is saying to us in our 2015. That it is now time for the church to know that God is and God says and God will. But if you make this application, the summary argument is that, in fact, all things are possible. I want to tell you tonight that you must reckon with yourself. You have been given this day. And I would tell you tonight, please be very mindful of the fact that I was very intentional and didn't say future at one time. I did not even suggest to you that there's, in the words of Deaconess Annie, that the sun will come out tomorrow. But I will tell you that the biblical principle requires that you know that tomorrow is not promised to anybody. I like Annie. I think she's a wonderful deaconess. But the fact of the matter is, all we got is this right here. And so what God is saying to us is that you've got to be ready to do at least two things, and then I'll give you the shout matter, and I'm done with it. First of all, if in fact we are going to be blessed of God who will do all things, the first thing that this people must do is disband the old division. I see it right there in the text. I see it in the Bible because he said that they are longing and relishing older days, and what they were doing was not about the present tense of God, but they had their own little thing. And if you look at the history of the Bible and you look at the history of the church, what causes us to be divided is that we create our divisions. Y'all didn't see the shout right there. Because in fact, the Bible says, the Father and I are one, be one with us. That doesn't sound divisive to me at all. And so if in fact we are going to give them something to talk about, we've got to disband the old divisions. We've got to come out of the old cliques and groups, and we've got to learn how to stand united with God. Because what God is getting ready to do is going to require the full attention of all of his people. All of us are going to have to look to the hills from which cometh our help. All of us are going to have to spend more time on our bended knee. All of us are going to have to spend more time lifting up praises unto God. All of us have got to tithe unto God. All of us have got to care ye one for the other. We've got to let the foolishness go, grab hold of our faith, and chase after our God. We've got to put our hands to the plow and not look back. We've got to join with one another, lift up one another, encourage one another, love one another, stand with one another, because all things have passed away. And what they did then is no longer going to work now. Gotta let it go. My grandson loves Frozen. Your children probably love Frozen too. But they got that line in there, let it go, let it go. And every time that song comes on, that little boy comes from wherever he is in the house, stands in front of that TV, and can sing every line of Let It Go. Let it go. Elsa, you got to let it go. Anna, you got to let it go. Look at the name, tell them, let it go. That which is frozen ain't no good for us. We need God to thaw out some relationships. We need God to thaw out our servant leaders. We need God to thaw out our preachers, thaw out our deacons. We need God to cause us to let it go. Because as long as you're holding on to yesterday, you ain't got no room for your now. Let it go. You spend too much time living on what used to be that you're missing what could be. And so he says, secondly, we're going along. I'm hurrying. Not only must we disband the old divisions, but we've got to learn how to respond in righteousness. What are you saying, Pastor? What I'm saying is, if it ain't right, we ain't going to do it. I don't care. Can I say it like my uncle used to say? I don't give a ham sandwich. What people do wrong, all of us are guilty. And no matter what happens in this house, we must respond with righteousness. It doesn't mean that we condone what you did. We're going to say something to you about that. But until we are standing in the place that we are the judge, we ought to all be glad that he gave us righteousness. And so we'll respond with, and so in order for us to make our advances, and there is the closing argument, the proper attention, proper application, it is about all things, and now we must make our advances. In other words, I hear the Lord saying that we got to gird up our loins, got to get our act together. Now we've got to learn how to do it like the old church did. The old church had some song coaches they used to sing, and I want to use just one, two of them. I'm going on about my business long through here, but they sing one of those old songs that simply says, we are soldiers in the army, and we got to fight even though some of us going to die. Look at the name, tell them, keep your head down. Yeah, you got to learn that we are in the battle of our lives. And some of you all are too lazy and lethargic. Some of you or too leisure, but you got to learn that when you signed up, it was by the bloodstained banner. You got to understand tonight that when God called you out of darkness into the marvelous light, it was not so you can sit on the sideline and put your little pom-poms in the air, and wasn't for you to get your tuba and march in the band, but it was that your hands would get bloodstained. It was, in fact, when God called you because he needed soldiers in the army. We are not called to sit in the boardroom. We're called to go on the battlefield. And because God has called us, we ought to be honored to serve him. We got to remember that the Lord said, I told you one time to put your sword back in your scabbard. He said, but now I'm telling you, you not only need one sword, but you're going to need two. Look at your name and say, I'm going shopping tomorrow. I've got to get me another sword because I've made up my mind that I'm going to start fighting for what I believe. I'm going to fight for our young people because I believe they deserve a place that they can come and hear the voice of God. I'm going to fight for our old saints because they put so much in that they ought to get a whole lot more out. I'm going to fight for my pastor because no pastor should stand by himself. And I'm going to stand with him and I'm going to fight. I'm going to fight for righteousness so that everybody gets a fair share. It's not going to be about click over here and click over there, but I'm going to fight so that everybody in the church has a faithful opportunity. I'm going to stand up and declare that if God be for us, I know God is more than the world against me. I'm going to sharpen my sword. I'm going to fight injustice. I'm going to stamp out lies and rumors. I'm going to put the gossip mill out of business. But I'm going to fight. And I'm going to hold up the bloodstained banner because God's been good to me. I've come too far to be laying down now. I've been through too much to act like I'm still a rookie. I've got a whole lot of fighting to do. And I will tell you tonight that the God I serve has been better to me than I've been to myself. So I'm going to change my life. I'm going to learn how to do it his way. And I'm going to keep on marching if I got to march by myself. But before I take my seat tonight, I just need to know, is there anybody here tonight that wants to join with me and give this city something to talk about? Let's stand on our feet tonight and tell the world that we are the redeemed of the Lord. God picked us up and turned us around. We're still alive tonight. And because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Is there anybody here tonight that feels like giving them something to talk about? Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, you better not blink. I'm getting ready to bust a move. You better not turn your head, because when you look around, I'll be five steps further. I've made up my mind. I'm not going to stand around twiddling my thumbs. I'm getting ready to step it up a little bit. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, I'm about to step up my game. And if you want to play with me, you got to play like me. Ain't God all right? Ain't God all right? Say yeah. Say yeah. Say yes. I made up my mind that not only am I going to fight, but I'm going to be faithful. God, I'm going to be faithful tonight. Lord, I'm going to remember every day of my life that everything I could ask, think, or imagine is already promised to me. And God, I'm going to be faithful tonight. I don't care who else quits. I don't care who else doesn't come. Lord, I'm going to be faithful because the Bible says that the just live by faith. Look at your name and say, I've decided to live better. I'm going to be faithful tonight. And whatever God has given me, he's going to be able to trust me with it. I'm going to make something happen. I'm going to make anything happen. I'm going to do while the doing can be done, because my God is able. And so he says tonight, I'm not worried about yesterday. It is what it is. And I will say to you tonight that there are three particulars. You know, Sandra, I never get to all of them, but there are three particulars that I want you to be able to overcome tonight. We're going to go. You can stay on your feet. One to understand tonight is we'll always be dealing with the same people. I had some notes here that I won't talk about, but it's always going to be the same people. Until new people come along and they become the same people. Same people that we dealt with in 2014 and 13 and 12, 11, 10, 9, and 8. Look at your neighbor and say, you look mighty familiar. We're going home to the same wives, same husbands. We're going home to look at the same nappy-haired children. We got to go to the same job, same supervisor. Ain't no, 2015 ain't going to change all that. So we're going to have to learn to deal with the same people. Here's an interesting note I'll make to you, and I'll be gone. We can go home. Moses often goes to God. You preachers can help him with it in the parking lot, but Moses often goes to God with most incriminating evidence against the people. Moses says to God, they're stiff-necked, they're hard-headed, they're lazy, they're liars. They start trouble all the time. As soon as I'm gone, they start some stuff down there. I'm sure Moses had a more graphic language with God, but Moses said, God, you know these people. You see them every day. I ain't saying nothing you don't know. But here's what gets me and what inspires me is that no matter how much evidence Moses brought to God, God looked at Moses and said, keep walking. Just keep walking. What I need you to understand tonight, beloved of God, is when you are dealing with the same people, no matter how much evidence you have that they're liars and lazy, that they're more onlookers than they are participants, that they're more troublemakers than problem solving, all God going to say to you is keep walking. Be steadfast and unmovable. Not only are we going to deal with the same people, Sandra, but we again are going to be starting in the same place. Here we are. Every year for the last 17 years, as pastor, I've stood and did the conference, and I've cast the vision about the possibilities, the promises, and the potential that lies within this people. And so it is. We are still in the same place. But what I discovered tonight in my celebration and to help me with my frustrations is that God remains faithful, even in the same place. And so I say to you tonight that we're going to have to learn that even though we keep starting in the same place, God is faithful. And then lastly tonight, I wanted to throw this one at you because it is a bonus. And I really had some notes I could have shouted all night long on this one, but I told myself I didn't want to start crying because Reverend White calls me a crybaby. But not only do we often find ourselves struck in starting with the same people, we find ourselves somewhat feeling penalized and put about that we're still in the same place. But I heard the Lord say tonight that we're going to be struggling with the same problems. David says, Deacon Anderson, that my sins are ever before me. My messes ups is always in front of me. David said, no matter what I did, I just could not seem to get over my own problems. You remember he cried at night, so it's all right to cry because David cried and wet up his couch. And that's some serious crying right there. But what I saw in David that helped me tonight is that even though I struggle with the same problems, they didn't kill me. It didn't win. I mean, I know I got the same old stuff to deal with. And some of you got that too. Some of you, again, you got to deal with the same problems in 2015 that you've been dealing with in 2014 and 2013 and 2012 and 2011, 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Since you got here, you've been a problem. You're going to always be a problem. Look at your neighbor and say, yeah, about got you. But what I saw tonight, I'm done. And I want to encourage you with three things that I told you earlier. And I'm going to try to not shout no more because I need to go home. I'm tired. But three things that helped me to understand how to deal with the same people in the same place and the same problems. God is. God will. And God says. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. God is.
God will. God says, sometime, God, I just need you to talk to me. You don't have changed nothing. I just need you to talk to me. So tonight I want to encourage you. My preaching may not help you, but it sure helped me. I can't make it without him. So I want to tell you tonight that God is. Whatever you need God to be. You need God to be your bridge over your troubled waters. He'll do it. He want to help me. I want to tell you tonight that you did some good stuff yesterday. Don't you let nobody fool you. Nobody can get where you are and be a nobody. You've done some stuff. But don't let your yesterdays trap you into satisfaction that keeps you from challenging your next moment, which is right now. And I will tell you tonight that God will. That old song they sing says, we'll understand it better by and by. And so I tell you tonight that God will. GBC, we're going to be all right and better than all right. When the devil attacks us, it really is an indicator that he's jealous of what God is getting ready to do, because he's jealous of what God has already done, and he's really upset about what God is doing. So don't give up. And so God says, from Genesis to Revelation, you've got mail. God wants to talk to you. I was riding in the car, Jess. You know, I always got to get my song in. And I don't know who the artist is. You all know stuff like that. But it's an old song, and it struck me. I said, oh, that's good preaching. Where the guy says, can we talk for a minute? I said, Lord, I hear that. Because if you listen to the song, he says that last time he saw her, he knew he wanted to talk, but he couldn't. He said, but just like a baby, I could not. That's how we are with God sometimes. There's some stuff we want to say to God. But he said, but next time, I'm going to have my stuff together and we're going to talk. And the old song hit me that the old folks said, that just a little talk with Jesus will make everything all right. So God, tonight for this people, would you say to them what they need to hear from you? I want to encourage you tonight again. If you were here tonight and you wanted to give sacrificially and you could not, please put your name in that box before you. I want to stand with you in sacrifice tonight. And I'll make it good tonight for us, because I believe that financially God's going to do something with us. Our faith is going to take us places, and they're going to talk about us. We're going to give them something to talk about. If you're here tonight and have not given your life to Christ, I invite you to come very quickly. Not that I'm rushing you, but I want to invite you to come. The doors are open for Christian salvation, discipleship in the Lord. You need to make a move tonight, because this is your present promise moment. Don't say, well, I'm going to come back Sunday, because you can come right now and you may not make it to Sunday. Neither might I. But while I'm in this moment, I think I would invite you to give your life to Christ. Can I show you something tonight? Watch this. Can you all just testify, those who know that the Lord will? Don't think, my brother, my sister, that you don't qualify, because you are qualified tonight. Your presence is your qualification. Because he said, I will let no unclean thing dwell therein. God is saying to you tonight, I'll clean you up. I'll make a real somebody out of you to the kingdom's glory. So if you don't have the Lord in your life as Savior, would you come? I'm not talking about just going to church. The devil go to church all the time. But he ain't going to never get saved. He don't want to get saved. And tragically tonight, some of us might walk out of here with the devil's mentality that I just don't want to be saved. No, come on tonight. Take the move that's going to draw you closer to God. And then tonight I want to tell you that it's not about Greater Brookville Church. It's about the Lord. We're not even a church without the Lord. We ain't much of a church without the Lord. We ain't going to be no church. So, you know, we're not just recruiting for GBC, but we're really kingdom recruiters. We want you to be a part of what the Lord is doing. God is doing some great things. Amen. I can feel it in my spirit. So I invite you to come tonight. And then I would say to you tonight that if you just need to rededicate your life to Christ, would you do that tonight? I mean, it's 40 minutes and 45. Oh, my Lord. Who was preaching all that time? Gotta go. That's right. It's 2015 now. 15-minute sermons in 2015. We can count on them. Oh, y'all laughing. I got something for y'all. Wait till first Sunday comes. 15 minutes. Sandra, make note of it. Amen. Would you rededicate your life to Christ? Thank you, my brother. God bless you, my friend. Come on, fellas. I need my brothers. Yes, sir.
Best thing I can offer him.
Yes, sir.
This is all the power I have.
Yes, sir.
This is for everything that I work, yes, for everything that I love.
Come on, I need some prayer warriors. Father, in the name of Jesus, this Father, by faith, brings his Son to the Father. And God, we know tonight that you hear and answer prayer. He has poured his heart out in his request to you for a legacy. And God, tonight, because you are who you are, because you are the God is in this child's life, you are the God will in this child's life. You are the God says in this child's life. So for this child and for this father's faithful request unto you, this few witnesses stand together and say, yes, and thy will be done in the life of this request for a father's son. And so, God, we honor tonight the firstness of this child's life. God, he's in the house of God, the first of the first. And so, God, because you loved us so much, you gave us your only son. We lift up this son and this son and every son tonight. And God, you give him the strength to keep him in the presence of God, to keep him on his knees, praying, seeking the counsel of God. Oh, Father, in the name of Jesus, for this child and this father, oh God, we thank you tonight that he had the courage to trust
that you would hear and answer his prayer. God, give him peace. Give him wisdom. And God, tonight we know it is so. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Come on, come on, let's give God some praise together. Come on. A handsome fellow. Grab somebody tonight. Grab somebody by the hand and ask them to come on, pray with me. We're getting ready to go tonight. Come on, we're going to tighten up. Fellas, y'all stay at the forefront. This is very strong and symbolic. I need all the men in the front tonight. We're going to put the men out front. I think God is showing us something tonight. Not only does a child lead us, but we got men in the front. Come on, brothers. All of the brothers, take the front. Ladies, y'all don't mind, because every woman wants a good man in front of her. Amen. Come on, James. You're a man. Come on, Deacon Richburg. Amen. Bro, Chris, come on. That thing will run by itself for a minute. Come on. Oh, you want? Oh, that's right. Y'all do security. No, I'd rather. Yeah, y'all keep your eyes open. I should have had the right guy outside. I got him covered. It would be good to go. Listen to me. Come on, ladies. Come on. Come on. If you can move a little bit, you can stand with us just a few moments. Amen. Spread out a little bit, fellas. Cover them sisters that way. Cover. We're going to spread out. Come on. Amen. Watch in front of them. There you go. Keep going. Oh, spread out a little bit. All the way around till you get in front of them. We don't want no sister uncovered. Keep going, James. You covering all the way. There we go. There you go. It's enough for y'all to do it. There you go. There we go. Sister Wanda, staying with her man. That's that Tammy Wynette spirits. And by your man. Amen. I don't blame you, because you know if you throw him away, somebody will get him. Amen. So listen to me tonight. Gentlemen, I really believe tonight that this young man has led us into a new paradigm. I don't think it's by coincidence that he brought his child. And his test, if you listen to what he says that a lot of his family is not there anymore. But he trusted God tonight. We prayed, and I believe tonight that you guys, you brothers, young and a little older than some and a little younger than others, but I believe tonight that you are the guardians of 2015. I think God is showing us something tonight through a baby. A little earlier, you probably noticed my grandson came to help me. I guess he saw granddaddy was in a little distress maybe. But I see something in that. I really see that God is showing us something. That if even little babies will respond when they see danger or distress or somebody in need. He came to help me. I think when we put big men out front, we got an even better chance. If he's brave enough to come and help, imagine what wisdom and intellect strength can do. So God, tonight, would you bless these guardians, these men, make their hearts stronger, make their hands stronger, make their feet steady, that they don't run or shrink from danger or peril. Give them eyes to see what others cannot see. Ears to hear what others will ignore. Make them warriors. Make them warriors that deceive the enemy, because what they don't look like, the enemy will mistake that they are not, and they are. The enemy will think that they are mere men because of their size, or their calm demeanor, and he'll make the biggest mistake of his life. Because he saw not the Spirit of God. They are men. And so as you hold hands together, you form a bond, a unity, a strength that God is going to honor tonight. And so ladies, sisters, wives, significant others, cousins,
whomever you are covered tonight. We have engaged now in a new strategy. We have launched a new assault, a new offensive. Our men are before us. They are dominators and warrior types. And so, God, tonight, thank you for the battle. Thank you for warfare. We will not shrink back. We will not fear. We are honored to serve you and to cover our women and our children. And Lord, tonight again, we remember that if you be for us, you are more. And we remember that we are more than conquerors. And God, thank you for them tonight. God bless your children all over this house, the wives, the girlfriends, the husbands, the mothers. We're going to leave this place tonight, but we feel better about the thing. We are going to deal with whatever distractions they come. We are going to defend what we believe. We will indeed declare war on the enemies of the cross. Bring out the greatest in us. For even what we know not of ourselves on this morning, teach us along the way. We are indeed the redeemed of the Lord. Heal the sick, Lord. So many sick among us in hospitals and nursing homes, but there are so many testimonies as well. So go, if you will, please, Lord, we don't have to send you anywhere, but if you'll just honor us tonight with our simple requests to heal and deliver, to strengthen and lift off of those beds of affliction, bring back vitality to those limbs, if it be your will. Now, Lord, get us home safely tonight. We've been here a while, and we're going home now. It's a little distance between here and there. Some revelers and party goers may have overdid it tonight. And so, God, we need to be very alert. And we pray, God, tonight that we'll watch out for even the animals that run across our roads. And, Lord, when we arrive at our place, we will remember to say thank you. And we won't be ashamed that somebody hears us say thank you. And when we walk into our house, we will say thank you again. When we stir about all the morning, we'll say thank you again. For indeed you have been faithful. God, thank you tonight. Now the grace of God and the sweet communion of the Holy Spirit rest, rule, and abide with each of you henceforth, now and forever. And now unto him who is able to keep you, to present you, to hold you, to kiss you, to love you, to guard you, to bless you real good, the all-wise and ever-faithful, our God. And the redeemed of the Lord said, amen, amen, and amen. Shake somebody's hand and say something nice to them.